Hello, we're back with another emergency episode. I'm almost speechless. It's Relatable Reality back on Vanderpump Reunion Night 1.
I'm almost speechless, but I still have a lot to say.
Okay.
So
first of all, trying to watch this was a pain in the ass in my house because we started off downstairs at the big TV live.
Right.
And then all three of my kids decided they need to come into the living room to hang out. And we're like, okay, this is going to get out of control. So we come to my room and then my TV get through 1 minute of it without skipping. And I'm like, what the actual fuck is... So we watched it on my laptop. It was just as juicy, just as good.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine.
And from the minute, like, I guess the opening part with, like, Ariana and Tom, what did you think about the one-on-one little snippets opening with that?
So I'm hoping there's going to be more to all of that because I thought that it was just going to be, like Andy sitting down with each one of them and just having like, kind of like how he did after Teresa and Joe got out of prison and came back right before Joe went to or got deported or whatever. Like it was just very intimate, one-on-one, no interruptions, like just very calm. And maybe they didn't want to make the reunion super long, but I would have watched 10 episodes of this.
Yeah. I mean, so far it seems redundant.
Yeah.
At this point, like having those conversations with Tom and Ariana and Raquel, and I'm sure when they were recorded, they didn't realize how many interviews and like details would be coming out on TikTok and on the blogs and on Instagram. So obviously all that gets spoiled, but I don't fucking care. I don't want a one-on-one interview. Like, give me the fucking reunion.
Right. Well, and to me, Ariana's been very vocal and very open about what's going on. And so her story, like you said, is just very redundant. Tom Sandoval's story is just him, like,
just trying to cover his ass.
Well, you see, like, it's just a bunch of bullshit. Like, you're making this up on the spot as you go instead of just telling the truth. And they haven't really shown a lot of Raquel's one-on-one, which I'm glad because looking at her makes me so disgusted now.
Yeah, so we were talking about it like we were watching, were we watching like flashbacks or something?
Yeah.
And her face reads evil now.
Yeah.
Like you can feel the bad juju running off of her, which is like, and we'll get into the reunion episode and everything, but like, is what Lala sent in the reunion. She's like, I smelled her from a mile away.
Right.
And you and I have always, I mean, I think everyone has that vibe where you're around someone and you're like, absolutely not. I do not trust you. I will never, ever let you around. Me, my kids, my man.
1,000%.
Like, you're not a trustworthy person.
Right.
And I see it.
Yeah, I see it now. I feel like behind the camera, she was able to kind of mask it. But now that everybody sees her for what she is, she's not able to mask it anymore.
Exactly.
So
she's been caught. She's been caught up, dude.
Yeah.
The gig is up.
Right.
Everyone sees you for what you are. You were an absolute opportunist. You sought James out. I'm just so curious, like, how is this a James thing? Or, like, why is he always, like, all of a sudden living with her and then he's engaged? He is the new Jax.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Like, girls move in within weeks.
I don't know what it is about him. I mean, he is funny. He is, like, charismatic. So
is it the accent? Like, is it the foreigner thing? Like, the women are just like, oh, my God, let me marry this man. I would be like, you get away from me.
Right. Who are you?
Like, let's have fun, but I'm not trying to move in and, like, live your lifestyle. Anyways.
I think Allie is kind of opportunistic with all with being with James. Like, I definitely don't think Allie's looking at him like, I'm gonna marry
forever.
You and be with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
I think James sees that, but I also think James is like, gets in a relationship and is immediately like love struck. That's all he sees, that's all he does. Like, he can't focus on anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Allie's not like that, and I think it is a little opportunistic. Like, she wants to be, like, work with people and do their signs and things like that, like their zodiac signs. And you need a clientele for that. And it would be a lot easier if people knew who she was.
Oh, absolutely.
So
yep.
I don't think she's necessarily like malintended. And I think that she does give James a level of like comprehension that he normally wouldn't have about social situations. But yeah. I also don't think that she's like, oh yeah, I love James so much and I want to marry this man.
Right.
Like,
I just don't get the charm. I'm like, I don't think Raquel was, I don't know, dude. Like, were you watching the show and like, he was so clearly cheating on her in the beginning. He was so clearly checked out. It's like,
right.
Did she see it? And she was just like, it's okay. I'll stick with it because he's my meal ticket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what you think it was. Because I'm like, who the fuck would put up with that shit? Okay. Yeah. Anyways, let's
First of all, I don't think, and I don't mean this in a rude way, I don't think that Raquel is the smartest person on the planet.
I don't either, but at the same fucking time, like, this takes a lot of calculation and skill. I don't
think she's ignorant, and I don't think she's stupid, but I also don't think that she really comprehends a lot of things.
She doesn't, or she doesn't. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that now because the depth of this betrayal and the sneakiness and the calculated, like, trying to plan their life together, like, it both takes skill and also takes a very selfish, stupid person to do it. Because,
well, that's what I mean. Like, I think she's selfish and I also think she's stupid.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know, dude. It's just, anyways, let's get back into it. Let's get into the episode.
So once the reunion starts, like the actual, everybody walks in, everybody sits down.
Okay, first of all, let's talk about the looks. Lala, her dress, her body, her hair, stunning. Like her makeup's still on point. It's just so aggressive and harsh.
It's a little cakey.
Yeah. It's like a lot.
Yeah.
But Sheena, stunning.
Stunning.
Hair, makeup.
I said this when we were watching. I don't think Sheena's dress films well.
It doesn't film well. It films Windsor.
Yeah. I think it films cheap. When they do an up close, her straps are so thin. She almost looks like she's not wearing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it, also the color, because she's so tan. And it's a gold dress. Beige, so yeah. It kind of looks all blended in together. It doesn't film well.
The gold needed to be either like more brown or more yellow.
Yeah.
But it reads very nude on her. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And then of course, Queen Ariana walks in looking like the savage revenge queen that she is.
Right. And even Lisa commented like, oh, that's a revenge look if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
Like she looks amazing. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. Sandoval looks
like your creepy uncle.
He legitimately looks like a corpse.
Yeah.
Like his cheeks are so sunken in. He looks terrible.
Have you seen, what's that movie with? Wow. I'm just not even going to be able to describe it at all.
Sentence.
Okay, who was, this is going to take a minute. Sorry. Okay. Who was, okay, Christian Bale.
Okay.
Have you seen the movie with Christian Bale, The Mechanic?
No.
And he plays this guy who suffers from extreme insomnia and he like dwindles down to almost nothing, like skin and bones. And he goes a little psychotic because he's not sleeping. And so he's imagining this creepy shit. Anyways, he reminds me of that character.
Interesting.
Because he's like whittling away to nothing. And he looks, let me see if I can find a picture. But that's what he reminds me of, like just malnourished and not well. So anyways. Okay, so then we see Raquel is in her trailer.
I love that she's watching this in a trailer.
She's watching in a trailer labeled 100 yards away from Sheena.
Yeah.
Dumb bitch. So that's great.
And Tom Schwartz is wearing like a suit, whatever, but then he has on like his fucking Walmart readers.
They're giraffe print glasses.
It's so weird.
You think the glasses are going to give you sympathy or what? What are you doing?
Oh, my God. He's just so fucking disgusting.
So, come out the gate, and Andy asks Tom Sandoval if he has anything to say to Ariana or the cast before they get started. And immediately, he's choked up, and the waterworks are trying to start. He's trying to get him on.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell it's like, he's like welling up. Like he's trying really hard.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Like,
and immediately James and Lala are all over his ass.
Yeah, and they kind of set the tone, I feel like, for the entire reunion, because the second Sandoval starts with his crocodile tears, James starts. Like, James primarily starts in, and he's hard. He's like, oh, suck it up. You're a pussy. Like,
be a man.
Right.
Be a man. Like, and even Andy and Lisa are like, stop. We still have 10 hours to go. Like, we just started. He's like, no, I'm going to call him out. And same with Lala. And she actually kind of, like, puts Lisa in her place about it.
Right. So one of the very first, I mean, super close to the beginning, one of the questions that was asked was to Lala and about, like, do you think that them living together is a good idea? What do you think about this? And Lala's immediately like, no, it's a terrible idea that they live together. And the only thing I see in Tom is Randall. Like, he is a dangerous man. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she means dangerous as in, like, he's going to come murder you.
Right.
That's not, and I feel like that's, Lisa immediately comes to his defense and was like, he's not dangerous. He's not this. Like, Lala, you need to watch your mouth. No, no, no. Lala's like, no, you don't know what it's like. Yeah. And respectfully, I don't give a fuck about your opinion.
Yeah.
And I don't think Lala always uses the right words. And I understand that because sometimes I struggle with using the right words. Mm-hmm. But I don't think she doesn't mean dangerous as in, like, he's going to physically harm you or like he's going to kill you or anything like that. I think she means, like, mentally, emotionally abusive dangerous, or, like, money manipulating dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Because Lala has lived through the experience of being manipulated by a narcissist and knowing what it was like to try and leave a narcissist. And she's right. His level of narcissism is dangerous. It's extremely scary, and any woman that is ever involved with him should be very worried.
Extremely.
And I mean, I don't know. I don't know how he's ever going to find somebody, but, like, the man has problems.
Yeah.
Deep-seated, rooted problems. So, anyways, I just love that they hopped all over him, and then he was like, be a man. And then immediately he was able to suck it up and, like,
no more tears.
Be fine. So
then Andy asks, when was the first time you and Raquel, like, got together? He was asking Sandoval. And Sandoval said, he referred to the guys' night.
Mm-hmm. At the Mondrian. At the Mondrian. Classic Mondrian. Yeah.
And which is the same weekend that Ariana's dog passed away. And that was a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, I feel like kind of the start of Ariana's really, like, struggle with mental health this season.
Absolutely.
And then he goes, so after that night at the Mondrian, so then see you next Tuesday that James does at Sir.
Yeah.
So this is days after they put their dog to sleep. Ariana goes, yeah, before her body was even cold.
I know.
Like,
well, and, like, okay, so we both listened to the Call Her Daddy podcast today too.
Right.
And on that podcast, Ariana talks about how they went home, like, he held her dog as, you know, they put her down, and then they went home and grieved together and cried together about her life together. And it's just, like, to know that you're able to do that, but on the side you're texting or making out with or whatever you're doing at that point with Raquel is gross.
Well, not only that, but days later you're having sex with somebody else.
Yes, yes.
So he admits that night at See You Next Tuesday, when James's girlfriend Allie saw them at the Abbey, that they had sex that night.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I looked at each other immediately in that moment and were like, if that's what they did that night, then
stuff was happening way before.
They had an emotional affair long before that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It wasn't just the week before at the Mondrian. Like, it didn't start then.
No, because he's not talking about it like a whoopsies, we got drunk and we made out and da da da. He's talking about it like, oh, and then it just happened at the Mondrian. Okay, so you guys had been already in an emotional affair then.
Yeah.
To want to sleep together.
Right.
To want to go to that level and then to sneak around to do it.
Yes.
This isn't a whoopsie. This was a plan. So, like, to start off and make it so casual, like, that would irritate the shit out of me. Like, that would really piss me off.
Yeah. So. Well, it's just, it's not okay on any level. So then they get around to the glamping trip for Raquel's birthday.
Fuck.
And.
Which was in September.
Which was in September.
Mm-hmm.
They supposedly, I think it was like July was the girls or the guys' night.
I thought he was saying that was the one time it happened in August and then never happened again. And then yada, yada. I don't know. His timeline doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I think it was around June, July was the guys' night and when they were first intimate. And then in September was the glamping trip. And he says, this is all alleged. Mm-hmm. He says that him and Raquel were not together after the first night that they had been together. That they were not together. They were not there. It was a one night stand. That's all that they were doing. Nah, nah, nah.
Mm-hmm.
But at the glamping trip, Tom Schwartz already knew about the alleged one night stand.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Schwartz makes a joke about how Raquel only likes taking men.
Right. Right.
So he's literally rubbing it in Ariana's face right in front of her.
Right.
He know, like, half of the group knows, half of the group doesn't, and he's rubbing it in her face.
Right. I know. So, I know there's so much information right now that we've gotten in the last 24 hours because we got the Call Her Daddy podcast and then we got this episode.
Right.
And they tie together because Ariana revealed a lot on that Call Her Daddy podcast, like the fact that a lot of the affair was covered up by Schwartz, the fact that Sandoval would fly Raquel around the country to be with him and use other people's credit cards.
The fact that when Schwartz is on Watch What Happens Live, and acting like an effing idiot.
Buffoon.
On Watch What Happens Live. She revealed on the Call Her Daddy that Raquel was in Schwartz's hotel room that night.
Sandoval's. That day. She was in the boys' hotel room. Yeah. She flew out there to be there.
Yes. What? Like, that blew my mind.
But also made so much sense. So much sense, because in Schwartz's head, he was probably like, dude, what the fuck is going on right now?
Yeah, but he had to have known, like, this shit had already broke.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, the news had already broke. You're going to Watch What Happens Live. That's obviously the only thing they're going to fucking talk about.
No, it wasn't the one where Schwartz goes on by himself. It's the one where Schwartz is with Sandoval acting weird. Remember that one? Where he kept looking over and was covering his mouth, like, not sure what to say. That, I think, was Schwartz genuinely, because I want to see when it aired. I'm going to look it up. But I think that was Schwartz genuinely caught off guard by what the fuck was happening. Because it was live. They were live, and he was so stumbled. It's like they didn't have their story aligned. I don't know. It was bad. I'm going to look up when that aired.
The fact that he knew about this and didn't go to Ariana with how close that they were is so fucking disgusting to me. And I just, so according to the timeline.
Okay. So sorry. The episode of Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval, it says aired February 8th, 2023. When did the story break? March. Right?
Yes. March 2nd.
Yeah. So this was before. So this was when obviously Sandoval was telling him, like, I've tried to break up with Ariana. I can't do it. Da, right. Da, 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 da.
So supposedly they weren't together for glamping, but they got back together after filming ended, but before BravoCon in October.
You're fucking liars. Okay, so liars. No way.
Glamping was in September. BravoCon was in October.
That's not a break.
That's not a long time.
You mean you went 2 weeks without sleeping together?
Right.
Like, I don't want to hear it.
And supposedly they hooked up in like July, August, but then they're back together in October. So you went a full 2 months?
No. First of all, that's a lie. Second of all, why are we even talking about this? It doesn't matter if you took a break. It doesn't matter if you slept together every day or not. You were in an active affair. Talk about that part of it.
Right. There's no accountability for the actual affair.
And it's like he wants placing blame.
He wants to like play semantics with when or where or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. That's my point.
But to me, the timeline is important because it further proves it further proves how much of a betrayal this is and how much of a piece of shit he is for not taking the accountability for what he did.
That's why the narcissism shows so blatantly, because like with Jax, when he cheated on Brittany, and that was just he slept with her twice, right? Faith twice, but it wasn't like a huge affair.
Right.
But he owned it. He looked at her dead in the eye. He's like, yeah, I did it. I'm sorry. Like, right. I fucked up. Then he paid his dues to earn her trust back, which she's an idiot, but whatever. That's on her.
Right.
But Sandoval, from what it sounds like and what we saw, never looked Ariana in the eyes and said, I fucked up. I'm so sorry for hurting you.
Never.
He doesn't feel bad.
No.
He doesn't
absolutely
know.
Absolutely doesn't.
He doesn't understand empathy. That's very clear.
Yeah.
And anytime it was like, well, I was attracted to him because he was such a good friend to his friends and he was always there for people. It was always self-serving. Always
yeah.
self-serving. It was never just because he was this generous, great guy that was No. It was about the image. It was about this, like you said, the semantics. It was about how cool he could be. It's just his entire life is he's made into like a screenplay. His entire life. It's a fucking, he can't be an actor, so he's just going to make his life a joke.
Yeah, basically.
Anyways.
It's, oh my God, it's so ridiculous. Then Andy asked Sandoval, like, how was your relationship, blah, blah, blah. Sandoval was saying, like, we kept it hidden for a long time, and, you know, things have been bad for a while. And then he fucking has the audacity to say he felt like her gay best friend, or BFF.
Okay. Sandoval saying, I feel like I was becoming her gay BFF.
Right.
What the fuck?
Also, you were so fucking jealous that she would do all of these activities, that she would go out, that she was laughing, that she was joking, that she was emotionally connecting with her actual gay BFF, Logan.
Mm-hmm.
So if you felt like you were becoming her gay BFF, wouldn't you love that?
Or wouldn't you be there with them?
Right.
Isn't that what you would be doing in your free time? But you weren't. You were off with Raquel. And you were lying. And I honestly feel like his entire band was a ploy to feed his affair, to be able to run away with Raquel since she was at every fucking show. Like, it's so slimy. It's so skeezy.
I don't know if he started, legitimately, I don't know if he started the band to do that.
No,
but I think it was a great excuse.
I think the tour was a great, was a great reason to be able to continue it.
Right. And to find out that he was paying for all her plane tickets to go to every show on other people's credit cards.
To hide it.
Like, how do you even talk to somebody and like imagine if I came to you and was like, I really need you to buy this plane ticket.
For my mistress or
for my friend.
For my, oh my God. It's embarrassing.
You'd be like, bitch.
It's embarrassing, though. Like,
oh, my God.
And so we're seeing all these interviews on, like, TikToks and whatever of people on the red carpet that like Vanderpump and whatever. And they're asking them, like, do you think Tom and Raquel are going to make it? And everyone always says, well, they fucking better because they blew up their life for this. So if you better make it worth it. And I'm like, no, it's so fucking true, though, because you threw everything away.
Everything.
For some fucking girl. And she threw everything away for some 40-year-old dude. Like, for what?
It's ridiculous. Another thing that I thought was interesting, just real fast on the timelines. Schwartz and Sandoval's timelines are 5 full months apart.
Uh-huh.
5, not just a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. 5 full months. Supposedly, Sandoval said that he didn't tell Tom Schwartz anything until, what was it, late January?
Mm-hmm. And then Schwartz said late August.
Right. I don't believe that because if Schwartz went to that Watch What Happens Live in February, he was already comfortable with the situation.
Right. Well, and he knew it at BravoCon in October because he made that comment to Katie.
Comments.
Like, there's plenty of proof that Schwartz knew about it
right.
from the start.
So, yeah, it's a bunch of bullshit. The whole thing is a bunch of bullshit.
What was the next? Oh, okay. So then James, how did it go from that to James and Sandoval going at it?
Andy had been talking about, I think just previous, Andy had been talking about how, like, everybody in the group are cheaters.
Yes.
They're all cheaters.
Yes,
you're
right. The
only people that haven't cheated on that whole stage well, Andy, we don't know about, but on the whole stage is Katie and Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Lala has cheated. James has cheated with each other separately.
Ariana did.
Ariana cheated with
Tom.
Tom on Kristen. Tom
cheated on Kristen.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Schwartz has made out with fucking everybody and their mom.
And slept with.
Right.
And slept with.
And then Sheena was famously known breaking up Eddie Cibrian and Brandi Glanville.
I always forget about that part of her.
So
that messy
girl. So they've all cheated, and I don't think the cheating, if Tom just cheated, I don't think it would be half as bad.
That's what people are not grasping. Like, even when I talk about
it, I think people are. I don't think primarily Tom and Raquel are grasping that.
Yeah, but even like when I talk about it, maybe it's just a male perspective. Like, it's different than when Jax was cheating all the time. It's different because with Jax, he was just addicted to sex and just wanted to have sex right. with anyone and everyone. Tom slept with his partner of 9 years, best friend, in their house while she was there at his best friend's house, recorded it. Like, this is a deep betrayal. Deep.
Yeah.
And so it's not comparable. And no. You're right. They live in this la-la land of, well, you cheated, so why are you not? No. This is a different level
right.
of affair, betrayal. Like, an affair and cheating are – an affair is another relationship you're in.
Yes.
Cheating is, I made out at the bar with a girl, I'm sorry. But, like, what Kyle Cook would always do, to just be fucking right. messy, drunk as fuck. But he never had...
Still not acceptable.
No!
But it's a different level.
But it's not month-long affairs.
Right. Yeah. So then Tom Sandoval made some fucking joke about it, or comment to James about the whole cheating thing. And so James then
yes.
started going off. Well, like, James got up. He's like, I was fucking 21 mm-hmm. years old when that happened. No. Like, you're a 42-year-old man.
Yes.
I was half your age when I did that.
Yes.
Like, I'm not still out fucking random people. Like,
and even so, nobody did what they did. It's not comparable. I'm sorry.
No.
It's not comparable.
No.
Should you ever have an indiscretion? Absolutely not. But it's not comparable.
No,
they had a whole other relationship on the side. They were going on trips. They were in hotel rooms. They were out and about without being out and about. He was right. taking her home.
To meet his parents.
It's disgusting. Well, you know, he manipulated his parents.
Of course he did.
Let's be honest. His parents didn't fucking know.
And his mom is obviously an idiot. She gave him her entire $250,000 retirement.
Can you imagine?
No.
And then watching it burn because he couldn't keep his dick in his pants?
Oh.
Anyways.
I could not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so James pops off on him and... And
rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so. Andy has to sit down James multiple times. By the end of it, James literally just got up and left.
Yeah, he's like, fuck this.
He's like, I cannot be nice. Like, you can just tell his whole energy is like, I can't be nice, so I gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm gonna go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that, because that is a lot of growth from James Kennedy.
Absolutely.
His first season.
Absolutely.
Can we just talk about Lisa Vanderpump?
Yeah.
Wow, that was enthusiastic.
I'm just like, I don't even really know what to say other than, like, if she's like this the entire reunion, it's going to be a big bummer.
Lisa Vanderpump, this entire episode, did absolutely nothing but defend Tom.
And he doesn't deserve to be defended. That's
no.
my thing. It's like, I know that it seems like they're ganging up on him. No. I'm sorry, it's not ganging up or bullying if it's for a betrayal that you knowingly and willingly committed over and over and over.
Right.
We're not bullying you because you have a bad haircut. We're not bullying you because you wear glasses.
Right.
We're telling you your actions are fucked up and this is how I feel. And then for Lisa to, like, step in and defend it is not okay.
Well, I feel like this whole bullying term has gotten so out of control anyways. Like, everybody thinks if somebody says something rude, oh, you're bullying me. No,
yeah.
I'm just being a bitch.
Well, it's like because everyone's so empowered now.
Right. But bullying is like a repetitive, consistent, like,
Abusive
behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
They are not bullying him. They are saying things that he doesn't want to hear and he doesn't want to think about himself. And so, oh, they're bullying me. No, that's not bullying. You fucking worm with a mustache.
Like, and what pisses me off is it's like, would this be the same same demeanor Lisa would be giving Ariana if the roles were reversed?
No.
So that's my problem.
Well, and even
she's
Lisa,
so hard on the women.
She's so hard on them, and she gives these boys a pass for everything.
She bails them out of everything. They showed up to their design meeting with her rich fucking French designer, wasted and hungover.
Right.
She would have ripped Lala's ass apart if she ever did that.
Right. Well, even Ariana made a comment towards the very end of the episode. Andy said, you know, you said that you weren't going to be friends with anybody that Tom is still friends with. So what does that basically mean for Lisa Vanderpump? And she was like, well, the relationship will be different. And Lisa
got irritated.
Ate her alive.
Mm-hmm. She was irritated.
She was mad. Like, I have business with them. No. Okay, you chose to have business with them, though. You chose to get in bed with them in business. And
if Ariana's uncomfortable with that relationship, that's okay.
Right. It shouldn't have to be the same relationship because you are still friends and you are still in business with somebody that she has no respect for anymore.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You're able to cut off Kyle Richards. You're able to cut off Yolanda.
Right.
You're able to cut off your entire cast. Why is she not allowed to cut off her entire cast for actual deep lifelong betrayal?
Right.
You know what else I found really interesting? And I wanted to mention this, but I forgot it till now. When Lala was saying, you are just like Randall Emmett, when he was cheating, before I knew about the cheating, I could not get him to stay home. And then once I found out, I could not get him out of the house. And she's like, the control is another level. And I'm like, and that's exactly what Ariana's experiencing
now.
Yes. He wouldn't fucking leave. Like, no. She had to have her friends on a schedule of when to come over and be with her. And honestly, she's so blessed for that because not everyone has that luxury or ability or fluctuation?
Flexibility.
Thank you. Wow. Flexibility, though. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Well, and, like, let's be honest, not everybody has that many friends.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I do think is interesting, though, because I've been rewatching the seasons, and they have really created their own family in LA.
For sure.
And I do understand how that could happen when you do not have family around you.
Yeah.
So I get why it's like, I moved to LA, I moved to this city, I want to be this, I want to be that, and then you find this family for yourself. And so I get why, you know, she would have a lot, or they have a lot of friends. It's because that's all they have.
Right.
So that's an interesting part of it too.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. 1,000%.
But yeah, so she makes that comment. Lisa gets frustrated about it. And Ariana basically just like says whatever she needs to say to get Lisa to shut up. And then rolls her eyes like, whatever.
Right.
And like, I don't blame her. Like, shut up, dude. You don't have any idea how I feel. You don't have any idea the pieces I'm trying to pick up because of your piss poor fucking business partner.
Well, and imagine, just fucking imagine, if Lisa was still on Beverly Hills and some shit like this happened with her and Ken.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
She would blow Bravo up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I just don't think it's fair. And as a woman,
I don't think it's fair for Lisa to be throwing stones at Ariana for the way that she's handling things and the boundaries she's setting.
No.
When Lisa has no fucking idea what it's like.
That's what I mean. It's not okay. And then to not just have her back simply for the betrayal and mistreatment of her because she's a woman. Like, I can't. But anyways, so that was that moment.
Well, then they talked about, at the end, they talked to Sheena about, like, her relationship with Lala now and how different it is.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes.
And I did find that to be really sweet and how she was saying, like, basically our kids brought us together. And her and Lala haven't always had the best of relationships. And that's been very apparent. Her and Lala now are super close. And I think it's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Brock definitely takes a huge role in Lala's daughter Ocean's life and plays, like, that father figure when Ocean's not at her dad's house.
Do we know how much custody he has?
I don't think a lot. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty minimal.
Okay.
But yeah, and I think that that's really important. And I did also think that it was really fucking big of Sheena to kind of reminisce on the entire season as a whole and how she acted and how much she backed up Raquel during the situations. And she was like, I was wrong. Like,
yes.
I'm sorry, Katie. Yes. Like, I did not treat you right. I did not treat anybody right. Like, people were trying to talk to me and people were saying stuff. And I took Raquel's word as the gospel. And it obviously wasn't. She was obviously manipulating the fuck out of me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry.
Like, well, and I will say, I understand why Sheena had a big sister mentality over Raquel, because these girls have been so terrible to Sheena so many times.
Right.
And so when somebody like Raquel, a younger, prettier, you know, girl comes in and these girls, and she comes to you and she's saying, these girls are mean to me. They're saying this, they're saying that. Sheena can believe it because she's been there, done that.
But they were so much worse to Sheena than they ever thought about being to Raquel.
Well, yeah, because that's unacceptable behavior now. Like, Saucy was unabashedly nasty to Sheena. And so was Katie. Katie was nasty to her and Kristen. But that's besides the point. So I think that moment when Sheena was with Sheena was really important.
I agree.
Because she took a lot of accountability, which you can commend her for. And I hope that her and Katie continue to, like, move forward and at least, like, can be friendly, because they used to be best friends, and it's really sad to see that now they just want nothing to do with each other.
I agree.
I do think they speak different languages and expect different things out of a friendship. But you should be able to be like, we love the same people. At the end of the day, we have the same values. Let's just, like, it coexist.
Right.
And, like, let it be.
Sheena's very much more of, like, a... And I don't mean this in a negative way, but Sheena's very much more of, like, an obsessive friend. Like, I want to do everything with you. I got to be with you every day. I got to this. I got to that.
You become her whole life.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Katie's not like that. Mm-mm. Katie still definitely has her own identity away from her friends, where Sheena becomes her friend's identity.
Yeah.
And so I think that they just, I agree. I think that they see things very differently and
they approach things very differently. Yeah. But I was glad for that moment, and I hope... it just is a nice full circle moment, because it was shitty the role Sheena was starting to play in Raquel and Tom being, you know, making out or whatever. And so it was nice that Sheena recognized, like, damn, seeing it from your point of view was fucked up. And I apologize, and that's not okay. So it was a good moment, like, to kind of end on.
Yeah, I appreciated it.
I'm so excited for what's to come.
I'm so excited.
So they keep saying there's a big... that none of the contracts have gone out, because there's a big thing that the cast doesn't know that's going to be dropped.
And they la, need la, a la, break. La.
Yeah, and the producers have to think about it. And Ariana was asked on the Call Her Daddy podcast if she knows what it is. She, of course, didn't say what it was. She's like, I think I have an idea. Obviously, I don't know for sure.
Right.
Everyone is starting to speculate that it's going to be Raquel adding oil to Tom Sandoval's fire or something during her one-on-one sit down, which it's like,
so basically just like throwing Tom under the bus for everything. But I don't think that's,
of course,
like,
is that shocking that would be her motive?
Well, first of all, it's not shocking, and second of all, like, I feel like everybody sees her equally as guilty, so I don't know. Unless she was, like, drugged for 7 fucking months and forced to do all this stuff, like, I don't think anybody's gonna believe her. Like, I don't really get how this would be so shocking to everybody. I don't see that as being it.
Unless I just thought about the fact that maybe she had become pregnant and he had convinced her to do something about it. I could totally see her claiming that.
Maybe.
It's a dark, deep, twisted thing, but this girl's been dark, deep, and twisted with every turn with this. Claiming Sheena decked her. Restraining order. Now she's in a mental health facility. Like, what level do you stop at?
Yeah, but do you think... Okay, so even if... And maybe I'm just thinking logically, which they obviously aren't. Mm-hmm. But, like, wouldn't you think if you got pregnant by your best friend's 9-year boyfriend, wouldn't it... You get pregnant. She obviously, if that did happen, she aborted the baby.
Right.
So wouldn't you just, like, fucking run for the hills? Like, why would you stick around for another 6 months?
I don't know. Why did they do anything they did?
Like, it doesn't, to me, that doesn't, it wouldn't change the scenario at all.
Yeah. You're like, so what?
Right. So yeah. You still continue the relationship. Like, and even if the pregnancy happened towards the end of the relationship, like, to me, that doesn't put any additional fault on Tom.
No,
over Raquel.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
not. Like, you're not shifting blame here. Everybody still thinks you're both equally a piece of shit.
Absolutely. There's no getting out of it for either of them. They just need to, they both played this so wrong. Both need to disappear, hide under a rock, let everyone talk their shit, don't respond, let it blow over, and then come back. It's just like fucking Will Smith decking Chris Rock in the face. He was silent for 6 months or whatever, a year.
Yeah, but he still hasn't come back.
No, but I mean, like, everyone stopped talking about it.
Right.
And they moved on to the next thing. But we haven't moved on from the next thing because these fucking morons won't stop doing dumb shit.
Right.
So we keep finding out new information. Now Sandoval is in Austin, Texas, dating some Austin influencer. It's like, stop being a fucking moron. Go hide in your fucking house and play your trumpet and be quiet. Or just be just be loud with your trumpet. Like, I just, shut up. Sit down and shut up.
Right.
Both of them. And I think that they could have not gotten away with it, but at least not been hounded to death the way they have been.
I think Raquel has stayed quiet.
No.
I mean, on social media, for the most part, she has.
No, but she was outside the nail salon with the paparazzi.
Oh,
that
that's
was
true.
Staged
that's
as
true.
Fuck. She was saying, like, the things that she put online. Then she had her camp talking about her mental health. Like, no, this girl is trying to do damage control.
Like, did you also hear, where was it? I can't remember if it was on TikTok or if it was on Jeff Lewis's podcast, but somebody had said that they very frequently go to that nail salon,
mm-hmm.
and there has never once been a chair mm-hmm. in front.
Or a paparazzi.
Never one time. She was like, I see famous people in this nail salon all the time. Mm-hmm. Almost every time I go in there. Never once been a paparazzi.
Yeah.
Never once been a chair. She was like, they pulled that chair out there.
Obviously, dude. It was staged as fuck. We know that.
They're like, and nobody sits out front in a chair waiting to get their nails done.
Facing the street.
What? I forgot about that. God, there's so many things.
So, I do want to say really quick, on the Call Her Daddy podcast, she is asked about the new man in her life. And she says she met him 3 weeks after this happened at a wedding.
And I remember her posting about this wedding.
Yes, same. And she looks beautiful.
Stunning.
They met, and she basically told him, like, they kind of, like, realized it was, like,
They connected.
They connected, yes. But she told him, like, I'm down to maybe make out here and there and, like, chat and this and that, but beyond that, nothing else. Like, I just need something easy and fun, which I respect. And I think good for her. It's a nice distraction. It's something for her to focus on and somebody to make her feel good and feel important. However, it is so clearly a rebound.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's all I want to say. It's just like, own it for what it like, don't make it this is quiet and this is like, you're in your rebound era. You're in your Pete Davidson moment. Like,
let it be.
Yes. Yes. Own it.
I know.
Own it.
He seems, I mean, from what the posts and stuff, he seems very sweet and very.
I've heard he's a, like, what people say on TikTok is he's a great guy.
Yeah. He seems very, like, doting towards her.
Absolutely. As he should be. I just mean, like, I think the way it's being perceived is like, she has a new man. She has a new boyfriend. Like, this is her dude. And I'm like, no, I think this is, like, a fun phase.
Right. And
yeah.
I definitely think, like, from what she said, and Ariana has always been very, like...
You know what's interesting? Sorry, really quick about Ariana. We have never seen or heard from a previous partner of hers.
Never.
That's weird.
Never.
Like, we've obviously heard her boyfriend before Sandoval was a piece of shit, but, like, not even where they lived, what he did, how long they're, like, we don't know anything about her love life prior to Sandoval. It's interesting. Yeah. So the new guy, I just think is, like, it's fun right now.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, you met 3 weeks after, dude.
I was going to say, Ariana's always been very, like, stern once she makes up her mind about something. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. So her saying, like, these are my boundaries with him. I believe that
absolutely.
She's sticking to those boundaries. Mm-hmm. Do I think that this is a rebound? 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that if she sticks by those boundaries, creates a solid foundation with a really good fucking guy, could this become something more? Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a good point. But I hope not, because meeting someone through 3 weeks after a 9-year relationship that ended in a deep betrayal doesn't set you up for a mind space to be like in a good, like, I'm not making good choices right now.
Right.
That's the only fear right. I have. That's all I'm agree. Saying. But I mean, she looks great. They're partying as she should, and she's living her best life. But I just thought that was interesting when I was like, damn, they met 3 weeks after, bro. Like, that's fast as fuck. But whatever.
Well, and I think it would be different. I think it would be different if she thought her relationship with Tom was trending south. But she didn't.
Yeah.
Like, if
you if she was already checked out.
Right. If you think your relationship is already going down, you're already checking out, like, you're already, things already aren't going great, and then something like this happens, like, yes, it would still be, I think the betrayal would still be equal. Mm-hmm. However, you're like,
your ability to move on
right,
is easier.
Is different. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I didn't listen to the Nick Vile files with Charlie. Did you?
I did. It was actually really good.
I knew it would be good. I had a feeling she was going to be good.
I've never liked Charlie. I think she's just like useless.
She's kind of obnoxious.
I just think she's a useless character.
Yeah.
But listening to her on the Vile files, she explains how she even got onto the show.
How?
She was an actress and she had already gotten roles. And her agent called and said, there's a show that's casting about people in a restaurant. And so, oh, you need to go do this, whatever, this interview. And so she interviewed at Sir and she got hired. And she said, Lisa called her and was like, hey, you're hired. We need you to sign this paperwork for filming, blah, blah, blah. Like, now you work at Sir.
And she said that wasn't what she thought was going
on. So she realized that it was, and she was like, the whole time I was like,
she's like, am I an actress or am I a server?
She processed it as like a gig, like an acting type gig.
Yes.
And so then she realized it was a reality show. And she's like, even showing up on my first day, like, they're training me how to be a server. Like, I work at Sir. And she's like,
is that what she wants to do?
Right. She's like, I was an actress. Like, I had acting jobs.
Weird.
So.
That's funny. That makes sense, too.
Yeah.
She's the whole, like, pasta thing makes sense.
She's like, I didn't come into this. Like, I wanted to be on reality TV. She's like, I was trying to be an actress, and I was kind of, like,
I went to an audition.
Doing pretty good at that. And then I got this job at Sir.
That's hilarious.
So, that was interesting to me. She also said that a lot about her relationship with Raquel.
Yes, I saw some clips on TikTok and I was like, this is good.
Yeah, she said a lot about her relationship. Like, when her and Raquel went shopping for the infamous, like, Raquel buys the necklace, she said that was after the glamping trip.
And she was supposed to go on that, I heard.
She was supposed to go on that, but I forget what it was. She said what happened, but
a homeless man broke into her apartment the night before.
And she called Raquel and was like, Raquel, I really need your help, blah, blah, blah. Like, this
can
guy
you
broke
wait
into my
to
house.
Leave?
Yes. And Raquel told her, no, I have to ride with Sandoval. And they left. So Charlie was already, like, breaking off her relationship with.
Because she's like, well, then fuck that. I'm not going.
Right. She was already breaking off her relationship with Raquel before she heard about all of this.
Yeah.
She was like, I was losing a lot of respect. And she's like, and it really. She said, when I first started losing respect for Raquel was when she was late to that meeting.
That's what I saw for the food tasting.
Yes.
Because she was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Yeah.
And she was like, and then from there, it was just more and more and more. And she was like, and then when we went shopping for that necklace, she was like, I legitimately didn't know about the relationship. I legitimately was just telling her, like, buy this necklace. It's so cute. Charlie said, I just went on vacation where I bought a shit ton of jewelry. And so I was, like, pressuring her to buy the jewelry.
It's just a fun girl moment. Treat yourself, whatever. Right. And so, but was she shocked to find out?
Yeah, she was like, then she said, I felt like I was in the middle of something that I should have never been in the middle of, and it wasn't my fault.
No, she shouldn't. Is the internet putting her in the middle?
No, I just think that people kind of on the internet, but they're kind of like, oh, well, you encouraged her to buy that necklace, so maybe you knew something.
Oh, shut up.
I don't think she knew anything.
Because she's the type of person that would be like, fuck that, I'm telling Ariana.
Right.
I really, truly think that.
Right.
Because she called her out for it being wrong. She made out with Schwartz.
Yes.
And we now, there's speculation that Sandoval pushed Raquel to make out with Schwartz on camera because a producer had seen Sandoval and Raquel kissing. And so then that is a rumor. And so then Sandoval was like, you have to make out with Schwartz. You have to make it a big deal because it has to steal the thunder of what they think they saw. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
I don't know. But it would make sense.
Well, it was very obvious. Like, listening to the Jeff Lewis podcast, his friends that were Sheena's wedding dress designers saw Sandoval and Raquel making out at the wedding.
Yeah, they were actively in their affair.
Right. So, I don't know. I don't know.
What shit, humans?
Terrible. But yeah, you need to watch the Biofiles or listen to it. It's really good.
I want to.
I still don't love Charlie. Like, I still think she's useless on the show. But now I kind of understand why she's so useless on the show. She also said that this past season was by far the most depressed she's ever been in her life. And she's like, I couldn't film. She's like, I could not go to the finale filming. Like, I physically could not be there. She goes, I was not okay.
Shit.
There was a lot of things going on. I think she said her grandpa passed away or her grandma or something. And she was like, I was not well. Like, mentally, I was not okay. And she was like, my boyfriend went to a lot of things. My boyfriend is actually closer to most of the cast than I am.
Interesting.
She's like, he hangs out with them. He goes out and parties with them. Like, he's with them all the time. She goes, he's in the background of a lot of these events. She goes, but a lot of these things I mentally could not show up for.
Poor girl.
So.
That's brutal.
Yeah. It made me have a little more empathy for her as a person. However, I don't think that this is a good fit for her for this show.
Yeah, you're like, okay, so go do something else.
Right.
Yeah, I feel that. Because she is, like, kind of boring.
She doesn't have a story.
She doesn't have a story. She doesn't party with them. She's not dating. She's not, like, you know, hooking up with the Schwartzes. So, like, I don't know.
Right.
Okay, well, damn. This is what I mean. Is there never not going to be new Vanderpump news?
I mean, eventually maybe, but
not anytime soon, because we're waiting now for more reunion seasons. We're waiting for the big news to drop. We're waiting for who gets casted. Will there be a spinoff? Right. When something about her is going to open, which they were saying late May on the reunion .
Yeah.
But there's a lot to come and I'm really happy about it. Like, this is the shiny bright light in my life right now. No, everything is a shiny bright light, but this is extra shiny.
This is extra shiny. All righty, guys. Well, thanks for listening to our emergency episode of Episode 1 Vanderpump Reunion. I'm sure we'll be back next week with a midweek episode about Vanderpump,
because we
just can't stop talking about it. I'm sorry, guys. We just can't stop talking.
Right.
Thanks for joining us for another episode, Relatable Reality Podcast. Of course, on Instagram at Relatable Reality Podcast and on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast app, and Spotify. Thanks. Have a great week, guys.
Bye, guys.